Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning. I woke up this morning, and I don't normally wake up like this, but it just seemed like there was a song rolling through my mind and a deep peace with it, and it just was such a blessing. The song was, "Let not your weary heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me, for in my Father's house are mansions. I will prepare a place for thee. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let not your peace and calm assurance be ruffled by the storms of life. But soldier-like, with firm endurance, just glory in the holy strife." Third verse says, "Let not your hope be dimmed with doubting. Let not life's burdens foil your grace, but in each conflict, victory shouting, like he who runs to win a race." You know, I know we don't work to get a blessing in that sense, but I knew last night, I got a call, and we had yesterday, and we had to meet with a soul last night and pray with them and talk with them for a long while. And I knew it would be difficult for today possibly because of that. But I also know this from experience, that when we do the Lord's will, there's a deep peace and blessing that he puts on that many times that really can't be had any other way. And so I look forward a lot of times to those times because I know the Spirit of the Lord accompanies these things. So I really appreciated that little visit this morning from the Lord. The peace was so sweet with that song. Well, I wrote on the board the time of his visitation. And I would that the Lord would just talk to each one of us. We don't hear these kind of messages real often, and I don't preach them real often, but I believe in them. And I believe the Lord is very interested in us, and he visits us, doesn't he? There's times that he visits us. He visits us through our life. You know, the scripture says, Psalms 90 and 10, want to look at that. The scripture tells us the days, excuse me, the days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. You know, it's good for us to remember those kind of things. Because folks, we only live so long. And I don't care what they do medically and all those things. The Lord said by his inspired word. Now, we might stretch that out some. We might stretch that out 100 years sometime. I don't know. But I want to tell you something. Our days are numbered. And if you drop down a couple verses, it says, "So teach us," in verse 12, "to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Yes, you know, when we know these things and we know that our days are numbered, we may be living now and we may live a long time. But I want to tell you something, our days are numbered. All the people in the past centuries, I want to tell you, their days were numbered. And now we talk about them and we talk about their life and the little dash between it and how long it was or wasn't and what happened, and some of them were famous and some were not. But I will tell you, the only one that will betray our fame or our fortune is God. He's the one that we stand before. Oh, there may be others that will betray that, but I want us to think this morning about the days of our life, the numbering of our days and our years, and living before God with such a fear of God, and I'm not just talking about a scared fear, but I want to tell you something. It brings fear upon me when I think about the hereafter that never ends. I can't afford to get it wrong. I have to get it right. That has to be a work done by the blood of Jesus. But the Lord wants to do that for us, doesn't He? And He wants to keep us until that day when He can present us faultless, it says, before the Lord. I know we're going to have human faults, but folks, we're not going to be able to have smudges of sin upon our life. In Luke 19 and 41, it says here, "And when He was come near..." This was Jesus. "When He was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it." Now, Jesus beheld Jerusalem when He came near the city. And it says He wept over it. And this is what He said. "If thou hadst known," talking to Jerusalem, "if thou hadst known even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." You know, this little set of scriptures here is speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem. Josephus has a long writing about what happened during the siege of Jerusalem. And it's very interesting. It's worth your time to read. And it is said that there was not a single Christian lost in the siege of Jerusalem. You know why? Because they were warned. And they were warned, get out of this city. And they left. They left suddenly. They left quickly. They ran for their lives. And when Titus and his armies came and encompassed that city, there was no getting out after that. And so they left. There was not a single Christian there. The Lord saw that as if it had already happened. The Lord knew what was going to happen. He saw that these almost 40 years before, He saw the destruction of Jerusalem, and He wept because of it. He knew what was going to happen. And do you know that that city, that wonderful city, the great, beautiful temple that was built, read the ones that saw that, their writings, as they came up to Jerusalem and they saw that great and grand temple with the gold and the ivory and all those things. It was a grand thing. It was a beautiful thing. But Jesus saw that all, and He wept over that, didn't He? And, you know, He knew that there would not be one stone left upon another, He said, because they tore all of that down. And, you know, a lot of that destruction was done from within. A lot of the destruction of Jerusalem was done by the people within Jerusalem before the Roman armies ever entered. They did those things, but they were starving. There was terrible things that came upon those people. And Jesus saw it coming and He wept. And He said, if you had known what's coming to you, you would have done something about it. But you did not know. You did not know. Here I am, I'm speaking, Jesus speaking to them. And here He is speaking to them, and you didn't know the time of your visitation. But I want to tell you something, not one Christian was lost. And I want to encourage us today. There's coming a day that's going to make the siege of Jerusalem look very small. There's coming a day at the end of time when we are all going to come before God and be judged independently and on our own. And I will tell you, there won't be one Christian lost. Did you know that? there won't be one servant of God lost. Now is the time for us to hear the message, to be sure of our soul, that we are ready for that time when that time comes upon us. I know this world don't like this kind of message nowadays, for sure. And we don't like to preach this kind of message, except that it's the Word of God. And so I'm going to share it with you this morning, just a few little things. You know, Jesus saw all that and He warned them. You know, He warned us also of the impending judgment day when we all stand before Him. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted." Do you know this morning, the wise man told us here a very valuable thing. He said there's a time for everything. And I want to encourage us this morning that we take advantage of this time of visitation from the Lord. See, the years of our life are allotted to man about 70. Maybe a little longer, but that's what they're allotted. That is their time. And the Lord has given us a soul that shall never die. And we are responsible to make sure that it gets there. That it comes before the Lord and is not accounted as guilty before God. That it has the blood applied and all of our sins put behind us. That's the word of the Lord. And so this morning, there's a time to every purpose under the heaven. You know, we don't have a thing to do with the time we're born. We're born. We didn't have a thing to do with it, did we? We're just born. And we're not going to have a thing to do with the last day of our life necessarily. I know some people take their lives, but I want to tell you, that time that we come to the end is going to come to all of us. And there's no stopping in that. There's nothing we can do. We might somehow live really, really careful and exercise and all that and get a few more years. I believe we can do that, perhaps, possibly. But I want to tell you, there's going to come a time to die. And there isn't anything we're going to be able to do about that because God said it's going to be. It is appointed. You can look this up in Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed to men once to die. And after this, the judgment. I want us to think a little bit this morning about what this is speaking of. Because folks, we want to be ready for this time. The Lord shed His blood so we could be ready. The Lord gave us, He came down and visited the earth and gave us His words and His life and everything so that we could be ready. And I'm going to encourage every one of us today, whether we've been saved a long time or whatever, to look into our hearts and say, "Lord, I want to be ready. I want to be ready." You know, in Romans 14:11, it says that every knee is going to bow. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord." You know, when the Lord says something, it's sure, isn't it? And He said, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. And every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." I want to tell you, folks, the deeds we have done in this body, we're going to be brought to account for. And that's why the scriptures tell us what manner of persons ought we to be. Folks, the Lord, there is coming a day that we are all going to meet Him. And He tells us Here that every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to, what are we going to confess? We're just going to confess what we've been. We're going to confess. I've known people that almost died. And I'll tell you, I had a brother one time that almost drowned right up here in the Illinois River. And he said, everything in my life came before me in that time. In a moment of time, he saw his life pass before him. Do you know that that really affected him? And I want to encourage us today to recognize and to know, folks, we're going to give account of ourselves to God. Not of what we thought, not of what we determined, but of what God has said and what He has determined. We're going to give account of some things, and I want to look at a couple of things here. In Luke 21 and 34, like I said, I know that this is not a popular message. I don't ask for lots of amens, but it's the truth because I'm reading from the Word of God. And so this morning, in 21 and 34, it says, "And take heed to yourselves." Now this is Jesus speaking. He's speaking here to the people, and His disciples were there. They heard this. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life." You know, we don't, drunkenness don't, maybe as far as drinking, that don't affect us here very much, does it? Hardly anybody, if anyone. Very little. But I want to tell you, surfeiting, spending our life just in total enjoyment of the flesh, feeding ourselves, overcharged with cares of this life. I want to tell you, the Lord wants us to be astute and careful about the things of God. That we keep in touch with Him. That our life is about doing God's will. That our life is about the Lord. Is that okay? Amen. The Lord expects that. And we're going to give account for it. Not only that. And so that day, He says, now I'm going to read it again. "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore," He said, "and pray always." He's talking to us. "Pray always," He said, "that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Now perhaps He was talking about two things there. The destruction of Jerusalem and also the end of time. But He tells us something very clearly there. "Accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Now you know tonight, this morning, that's something for us to consider, isn't it? Because the weight of what we're up against here is eternal. It's not, well, maybe tomorrow I'll suffer and the next day I'll be fine. This is eternal things we're speaking of this morning. And I want to encourage us today to be certain that our soul is ready in God's eyes to meet Him. That we're not living with stains of sin and evil in our life. Those things need to go before to the judgment. If there are things that we are guilty of, folks, we need to repent before God and be sure that we are ready. I don't preach this way real often, but I don't apologize for it at all. Because, folks, it's part of the overall picture. We must be ready to meet the Lord. I want to look at a few other things. 2 Peter 3 and 10. You know, we're quite familiar with these scriptures, aren't we? We should be. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come." Let's read 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. I want us to keep that in mind. The Lord is more willing than we are. He longs for us to be centered right up in His will and in His way. He longs to take us to His heaven. That's why He said, I go to prepare a place for you. The Lord longs for that. We're not looking at a judgment here that surely you won't make it. No, the Lord is telling us, I want to take you to my heaven. And I want you to be ready. So, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, this is what's going to happen, folks. The day of the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. We're not going to expect it. He's not going to announce His arrival. We're not going to think, well, tomorrow the Lord's coming. I think I better get ready. I will tell you, He told us some things were going to come to pass, and aren't we seeing them everywhere? Is there not an abundance of signs of the end of time? It sure seems so to me. Now, the Lord's time clock is a lot slower than mine sometimes, but I will tell you, when it's time, it's time. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that time at any moment. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I'm just reading from the Bible. This is not some theory I'm telling you. I'm reading this from the Word of God. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? I want to tell you, these things had a big impact on my young life. I wanted from a child to serve the Lord. I regrettably can't say that I always did a good job. And I can't say I always... But I wanted to serve the Lord. And the Lord led me and got a hold of my heart and filled my soul with His Spirit. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Folks, we have something to look forward to. Let's get ready for it. Let's spend our whole life for it. Let's give God the best of our days. Let's give Him our strength, our time, our best part of our mind. Let's don't think that I need to set up for myself here and make big money and all of these things, and someday I'm going to be in a place where I can really give it to God. That don't generally happen. But I'll tell you what does happen. Somebody starts out and they say, I'm going to give my life to God. It's going to be the Lord's. And I want to tell you, I don't believe that you can outdo that kind of a life with the Lord in it. It may not have as many comforts of the flesh, but the work of the Spirit in our life and in our heart, the peace that God can bring, the peace He brought me this morning, I want to tell you something. I basked in that. I had to go out and just praise the Lord and thank Him for a while. Lord, I thank You for this. You know, the Lord can give those things, can't He? And I have found that when we do for the Lord, He does back, and He's better at giving than we are. So I say, no, we don't go out and work for that. But we do His will, and He does what He does. Thank the Lord. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, folks, that's subsequent to our conversion. He said, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you're found of him in peace at the time that he comes. Because he's going to come, as we read, as a thief in the night. And all of these things are going to pass away. But I want to tell you, he has a place to take us to, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I believe that's going to be worthwhile, folks. I want to read a little more over here in Matthew, the 12th chapter. In the 36th, 37th verse, Jesus speaking again, he said, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Now, folks, I do not believe the Lord is sitting on his throne looking for us to say something that he can judge us for. But I want to tell you, when our mouth begins to say idle and wrong and evil things, when our mouth begins to be used in a way that is ungodly, let's keep in mind that we shall stand before the magistrate on high one day and give account. The Lord wants us to be careful of how we speak. When he tells me that every word is going to be brought into judgment, folks, every idle word, I want to be careful of that. We'll live before him in a way, you know, that brings peace with our fellow man. It's not just peace with God. There's a wonderful thing that the reason the Lord gives his instructions is so relevant to our life. It brings peace to others, with others, to our own selves. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." That makes me want to be kind of careful of my words. How about you? That makes me want to weigh them before the Lord now. If something needs to go to judgment now, I want it to go now, not later, when I have to meet the Lord and give account there. So this morning, I just want to bring this little message. I don't think we'll be very long here. I just want to encourage us, folks. We have an eternal soul. And you are put in charge of your eternal soul, not me. I'm put in charge of my eternal soul. I have to make sure this man gets there. And you have to make sure your soul gets there, clean and pure. The blood of Jesus cleanseth, folks, and keeps. In Matthew 25 and 46... Matthew 25 is a chapter that we ought to just read the whole thing every so often. It puts things in perspective because it gives three scenes at the judgment scene, and one of them is to keep the oil, keep the Lord, keep His Word, keep His Spirit alive in our heart and life, keep a real walk with the Lord. But then he talks about the talents that's given to each one. Do you know he's given you some responsibilities? That's what those are. He's given you some responsibilities, and we're going to weigh in at the end with those things. And he's going to judge us according to that. And he gives the little illustration of the man at the end of the way. And he says, his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed." And he gives the example of a man as a businessman. That his people come before him. And so he said, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I know this is not popular. I know there's not a lot of amens. But I want to tell you something. I hope your heart amens this. I hope you live this. I hope you go home, and if you're not ready to meet God, I hope that you make sure of your calling and election. I hope that from this day forward, whether you're young or old, that you decide, "I will meet God in peace, whatever the cost." And he, verse 46 there, he says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." What do you think he meant there when he said that? These shall go away, those that had not done the Lord's will, those that had offended. And he said, they're going to go away into everlasting punishment. Have you ever thought about what that's going to be like? Everlasting punishment? Folks, we need to think about it. We're in a world today that does not serve this up at all, hardly. But I want to tell you something. There's going to be a day in which the world is going to be judged. And those that are not ready to meet the Lord, and they've got the stains of sin upon their life, I want to tell you, they're going to go away, all of them, into everlasting punishment. Everyone that maketh a lie, the Scripture says. And so, in Luke 16 and 19, let's listen to what it says here, because Jesus gave a really good illustration. I had a man one time really challenge me on this. And when he got all done challenging me with some questions I couldn't answer, I said, well, what did Jesus mean when he said this? He didn't have an answer for that one. Jesus meant something, didn't he? In 16 and 19 of Luke, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He had more than heart could wish. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. I will tell you, just because you're one of God's children don't mean you're going in on easy street. The flesh may suffer some. 10 of the disciples were martyred. I want to tell you, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to decide, I want to go to heaven at all cost. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. We like to think that Christians will always have it nice. No, we may not always have it nice. We may not. We may not always be treated nice. But I will tell you something. God will be with us. God will fulfill the inner man. And then at the end, He'll take us to an everlasting heaven where I can only imagine what the Lord, when He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, took Him 6 days for this whole earth. And what's He doing over there? It must be something. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Do you know what Jesus was saying here? He's telling us what hell is like. He's telling us what those that are not ready to meet God meet at the end of time. I want to encourage us, everyone, young and old, that we ought to have the fear of God upon our heart. Because, folks, this is what we face at the end of the day. At the end of our life's day, we're going to face the Lord. And we're going to come before Him. And we're going to stand before Him on our own. Mom and Dad won't be there. Our friends won't be there. Those that shored us up won't be there. We will stand upon our own. And so, He said, Father Abraham, He said, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Just my tongue. Just give me a little relief. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. And likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Jesus was giving us a little picture here, folks. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he say, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Do you know this morning, to everyone there is given a time. You have a length of time. I've seen people right from here have less than 10 years. I've seen people have less than 30 years. I've seen people have 100 years. But they all had their time. And I want to tell you, we'll have our time too. So I just want to encourage us today, especially, and this wasn't why we brought this, I felt inspired of the Lord, I believe. But especially as we go to Monarch, let's remember this is a time to make sure all is well. Folks, let's get it right. Let's get our soul right with God. The Lord didn't give to us a book of rules that we can open and say, well, I think I got it all. He gives to us the life of God. And He wants His Spirit to work in that life. And He wants His life and His blood to cover our life. And He wants us to walk with Him. And He wants us to give all to Him. What's Romans 12? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. When I was young, I decided this is what I want to do. And I want to tell you, I was 18 when that really happened. But I presented myself to the Lord and pled with God. Lord, fill me by your Spirit. And I want to tell you something. I sought the Lord. It wasn't by my work, but it was by my humbling and divesting myself of myself and calling upon God. And I want to tell you, the Lord, as He does, He filled. And so changed my life. I just couldn't believe it. I could not believe the change that came into my heart. And it's been that way for over all these years now. It was 1979. Oh, I want to encourage us today. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Scriptures tell us, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. In Matthew 11, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I want to encourage us today that we get violent about these things, that we take it by force. That's what he's talking about. That we don't let the devil stop us. We don't let him discourage us. We don't let him talk us out of it. We don't let him work and trap us into something. Folks, let's go to heaven. There is an eternal bliss awaiting the righteous. And there is eternal torment waiting those that don't take care of that soul that is entrusted in their body. And so this morning, I leave you with those thoughts. The Lord help us each one that we will carefully consider and take care. The Scriptures tell us to do that. I could bring you many places, folks, that we be careful, that we carefully take care of the trust that God has given us for this eternal soul that we have. The Lord bless us each one. Oh, the Lord has a good life for His people. I don't believe there's anything like giving yourself to God and taking your hands off of the things that we have to control and all those things. There's something God wants to give you. He says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Lord wants to give us not the comforts of this life necessarily, although we all enjoy many of those, but to give us His righteousness and His peace and His joy. You pray for me.